First off, I was like, why are CrossFit Games athletes hurdling? Like, it
Yeah.
took me 12 years to figure out how to master it, but I got it in 24
I
hours.
can
We
teach her.
can do this.
Sure.
And so honestly, it was just like, I just wanted to help. And hurdling is one of my favorite events.
Okay.
I love it inside the heptathlon, and it's something that I know, like I know my first name.
This is episode number 70 with Tiffany Parker. This episode is brought to you by Thrive Market. If you haven't heard of Thrive Market yet, they sell top organic and healthy products online at 25 to 50% off, shipped straight to your doorstep. So as a sponsor of this episode of the podcast, they're providing an amazing offer to all Pursuing Health listeners. You can head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH, and there you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, as well as free shipping and a free 30-day trial. So why do I love Thrive Market so much? You probably know my husband Danny and I have been living a very chaotic lifestyle for the past several years, from medical school to now residency training and training for the CrossFit Games in there as well. We didn't have a lot of time for grocery shopping every week or meal prep. And so using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snack bars, dressings, even coffee and tea. And we know that when we're ordering through Thrive Market, these products are coming from a curated list that we know we can trust. So whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, or organic products, you can find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices that are 25 to 50% below what you would find in the grocery store. And even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or the hassle of grocery shopping. I also love that Thrive Market demonstrates a big commitment to giving back. So for everyone who signs up for a Thrive Market membership, another membership is donated to a low-income family, veteran, or teacher. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because Thrive Market has been such a huge lifesaver in my own life, I wanted to share the benefits with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So as I mentioned before, you can head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase and free shipping and a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So I hope you take advantage of this amazing offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH. You can head there to save on some of your favorite items for healthy living and also help make a healthy lifestyle easy, affordable, and accessible for all. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWOD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, Mobility WOD has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use Mobility WOD to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute Mobility WOD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the Mobility WOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Fouché. That's JulieFoucher. Just visit www.mobilitywad.com. Full potential, full power. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to Pursuing Health. In this episode, I sit down with USA track and field athlete Tiffany Parker. In the CrossFit world, you may have heard of her because she works alongside endurance guru Chris Hinshaw as the sprinting coach to many top competitors, including Camille Bonk-Bazinet, Katrin David's daughter, and CrossFit Mayhem Freedom. Tiffany grew up playing volleyball, and she had a late start to the heptathlon but picked it up very quickly, placing fourth at junior nationals shortly after learning the sport. She went on to compete at the collegiate level while studying business and marketing at Azusa Pacific University. And there she fell in love with training alongside an elite community of athletes that she would continue to train with as a professional heptathlete after graduation. Since qualifying for the national team and competing at Olympic trials in 2016, Tiffany has moved her training to Dallas, Texas, and has her sights set on the 2018 IAAF World Championships. I caught up with Tiffany in Cookeville, Tennessee earlier this year, and we talked about some of the highs and the lows of her track career, the absolutely crazy story of how she became involved in the CrossFit world initially, and what wisdom she has to share from her experiences. A few quick reminders before we get started with the episode. First, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. It really does help. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com and I'll select some to share here on future episodes. You can check out my online training programs through Beyond the Whiteboard at trainwithjuliefouché.com. And finally, please remember that although I'm now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So, let's get started here. Episode 70 of Pursuing Health featuring Tiffany Parker. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm so excited to be here with Tiffany Parker.
I'm excited to be here with you.
And lots of things to talk about, but we're actually right now in Cookeville training with Chris Hinshaw and a number of CrossFit Games athletes. So I thought maybe we could just start out with, what brought you here?
Yeah.
Why are you here in Cookeville with all these CrossFit Games athletes?
Well, it started in 2015. I was probably maybe 10 in the evening.
Okay.
I get an email, and it's from Chris Hinshaw. Uh-huh. And outside of Dan Bailey, like, my whole CrossFit knowledge and the idea of the community is very, very, very limited.
Okay.
So I didn't even really know what Chris who he was.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay, you're a specialist in hurdles, and this is one of the events that we're going to have at the Games.
Okay.
And I need your help. I have this athlete, and I want you to work with them. Uh-huh. And he didn't tell me who the athlete was. He didn't tell me anything.
Yep.
And I responded back to him at like 11 p.m.
I was like, this was in the middle of the Games.
Oh,
he was like, we have
48 hours.
Okay, 48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours.
All right.
Got the email.
And
12
like...
hours later, I was at a track or at a, it was a football stadium.
Wow.
And I packed my car up with some hurdles and I got there and it ended up being Camille.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, cool. Still really didn't know who I was dealing with. My thing was just like, this person needs help and I want to help him. And so he was like, well, you're in Pasadena and I'm in Manhattan Beach, which is like an hour and 15 minutes away. And I was just like, okay, not a problem. I'll just pack my Jeep and bring some hurdles and we'll be good.
That's amazing.
And Chris was just like, who is this girl? Is she really going to do that?
Are you sure?
So, yeah.
What were you thinking when you got the email and what made you say, yeah, I'll drive an hour and 15 minutes and do this?
First off, I was like, why are CrossFit Games athletes hurdling? Like, it took me 12 years to figure out how to master it, but I got it in 24 hours.
I can teach her.
We can do this. And so honestly, it was just like, I just wanted to help.
Mm-hmm.
And hurdling is one of my favorite events.
Okay.
I love it inside the heptathlon, and it's something that I know, like I know my first name.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having the opportunity to go help someone that A, is an elite athlete, and B, is an elite athlete trying to figure out how to be an elite athlete in an event that's extremely technical to understand. Mm-hmm. I was just like, let's do it.
Why not?
And so, yeah, I got there, unpacked my car, brought some hurdles, and 45 minutes to an hour, just kind of went over sprint dynamics and showed her how to hurdle. And
that's
then
amazing.
That ended up, I ended up going to the games, and I ended up working with Matt Frazier and then working with Brooke Entz, and people, all these names are being thrown at me. And I'm like, okay.
Sure. I'll help you.
So, like, I'm seeing some of my friends who are huge into CrossFit just at the game. I'm just casually walking with Chris Henshaw.
Yeah.
Tra-la-la-la. One of my friends is like, do you know who you're walking with? And I'm like, who, Chris? They're like, that's the Chris Henshaw. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like down working with Brooke.
Yeah.
And I like post a picture of her, like trying to get her into the stance of sprinting. Yeah. People are like, what?
Going
like
crazy.
Mind blown. Like, how is this random track athlete with all of these like top CrossFit athletes in the world? So that's kind of how it happened in 2015. And then I ended up coming to Cookeville last year.
Okay.
And then I ended up working with Katrin and then the Mayhem team. And it kind of just rolled from there. I just built great relationships with these people. And I just get a chance to help them learn more about sprinting and just different various events that I know being a multi-athlete as a track and field athlete.
That's amazing. And so you can see how it pays off to sometimes take a risk
and
go out and answer that strange request at 11 o'clock at night.
And he couldn't believe it. He was just like, it's 11 p.m. and this girl actually wrote me back within 3 minutes. And I'm a grandma. I sleep at 9. So the fact that I was actually still awake to get that, it was just meant to be.
That's so amazing. Yeah, so. Wow. So coming in as someone who really wasn't familiar with CrossFit at all, what has it been like? I mean, from that first experience at the games, it's kind of like information overload. But even then, getting to understand CrossFit a little bit better, what has it been like from your vantage point?
Honestly, working with kids has helped me a lot.
Okay.
Because in just the experiences that I have, if I'm able to relay the information that I have to a 7 or 6 year old child, I can teach a grown adult that's top in the world how to do what I do.
Okay.
And you kind of just have to take it back to the basics, and you can't overwhelm them because they're just like me. CrossFit athletes have to have multiple things inside of their arsenal. Me, I know what my 7 multiple things are going to be. For them, anything can be thrown at them.
Right.
So I can't overload them with a bunch of science of like, this is why you have to be at this angle. This is why you have to be at this angle. It's, I have to figure out some analogy or some way to make it so that they're receptive to understanding and actually knowing what I'm telling them instead of just like, I need you to be an elite sprinter. This is how you become an elite sprinter. It's like, no, I need you to hold a coffee cup on your toe, throw some eggs into the ground, and we're good. And people look
Those
at
analogies.
Me like, how do you know how to do that? And that's just the way that I learn.
Yeah.
And so I figure if I can teach a 7-year old, like, I'm not going to tell them, I need you to dorsiflex your foot or keep the angle, your right angle of your arm. They're going to look at me and just pretty much get overwhelmed and probably walk away.
Right.
So you have to be able to express it in a means of they're going to be receptive to it. And I feel like the same type of community that I have being a heptathlete, we're a small group. Track and field, being a multi and being an open track and field athlete are totally different things. It's kind of like a family. So you see the same people all the time. You're competing against a book, but you're also competing against each other. And so there's just that dynamic that you have, that community feel. And I feel like that's the parallel with CrossFit. You guys are extremely relationship oriented and you're community oriented as well. And I feel like that's the reason why I'm able to bleed into the CrossFit communities, because I have the same type of community being a multi-athlete as well. So, yeah, that's kind of how it's been. It hasn't been a lot different. I think I was just really nervous when I realized the caliber of the athletes that I actually got a chance to work with.
Right.
But to me, it's like, I don't care if you're a common person and you need help running, or you're top 3 in the world and you need help running. I have no problems helping you learn how to sprint, because I know that's what I would rather have you do it in the correct positions than to go out and just try to do it and end up hurting yourself in the long run. So yeah, it should be enjoyable.
That's awesome. And from your perspective, we were kind of talking about this yesterday, but sprinting is one of those things that's kind of neglected oftentimes in gyms, or even in the elite athletes in our training, or it's something that we don't often have a lot of specialized coaching for. So are there simple things that you've been able to, we obviously are not practicing the amount of time that that you have as a track athlete, but like, are there simple things that you've been able to really see progress in some of these elite athletes in their sprinting?
Oh, for sure. It's so funny to me because like I feel it, Chris talks about it in his seminar also. It's like your major muscle groups, your major muscle groups.
Right.
Well, the only comparison that I've seen with most of the CrossFit athletes that I've worked with are everything that they do is lower body dominant, and they kind of neglect just the small muscle group, like your arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to sprint and they're trying to put all this power into the ground, mm-hmm. but everything works simultaneously. If your arms aren't moving efficiently, your legs aren't going to move efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
You can't try to force a position if you're not giving your body a chance to reach that position.
Right.
And so for me, I kind of had to learn that with CrossFit athletes, I work from the top down versus regular, like mm-hmm. people that are learning how to sprint and people that are track and field athletes, mm-hmm. you would work from the bottom up.
Interesting.
And so,
okay.
it's just the nature of CrossFit. From what I've seen with the athletes that I've gotten a chance to work with, that kind of seems like it's the determining factor. So if I can get them to think, apply force with your arm swing, mm-hmm. then their legs match it. Instead of me trying to do it the textbook way and start from the bottom and these are the angles that your feet have to be in. It's like, no, let's get your body in those positions first,
mm-hmm.
and then we can kind of go from there.
Very interesting.
So that's been really cool and very different. I came to that aha moment yesterday mm-hmm. when I was working with Angelo.
Interesting.
And I was just like, wow, Tia, Angelo, like they have similar problems.
Interesting.
Camille had a similar problem. So I think that might be the underlining is work from the top.
From the top down.
Top down.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I want to talk to you just about your background and your history.
Yeah.
And maybe first you can just start off by, because I know we've mentioned your heptathlete, but what exactly are the events in the heptathlon? Because people are listening. Maybe they don't know. I know there's a lot of them, but let's start there.
Yeah. So the heptathlon, there are 7 different disciplines.
Okay.
So the way the heptathlon works, it's broken up in between 2 days.
Okay.
So the first day you do 4 events. The second day you come back, you do 3 events.
Huh.
The first day events are 100 meter hurdles.
Okay.
And then we high jump. We throw shot put.
Okay.
And then we run 200 meters. So we get to chill, eat, recover, mm-hmm. come back the next day. We long jump.
Mm-hmm.
We throw javelin. And then we run the 800.
Oof.
Yeah, and we have
finish with a bang, right?
Let me tell you. But so we get 30 minutes, anywhere between 30 minutes up to an hour, depending on where you are. Minimum of 30 minutes in between each event.
Okay.
Sometimes if you're in Europe, they kind of just like to chill. You end up getting an hour and a half. So that's really it. That order is always the same.
Okay.
There's no surprise. Like, we're going to throw the 800 in. No.
Right.
My 7 are kind of, they're routine.
You know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Okay. But still similar to CrossFit in the fact that you're doing multiple events a day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to space your rest and your nutrition and all those
things.
So
everything is programmed. Everything for me is I have my weightlifting in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 2-hour session. I get a 3-hour break. I come back in the afternoon. I hurdle. I maybe might do some javelin or shot put, mm-hmm. come back later on in the evening, 6 p.m. I do my sprinting workout.
Okay.
I do recovery post, same process. The way that my training program kind of works, though,
mm-hmm.
is I hurdle on Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
And shot put is always the opposite day of javelin. So if I throw shot put Mondays and Wednesdays, I throw javelin Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
And Saturday is always my endurance day.
Okay.
So that's when I really work on my 800 training.
Got it.
And yeah.
So and it's pretty much the same routine mm-hmm. mostly every week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in Texas now, so if it's snowing or raining or sunshining, that routine might like deviate
a little bit,
but for the most part, it's pretty consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you get into heptathlon? I know that it came later in your track mm-hmm. and field career, but let's just start even at the beginning.
Yeah.
What were you into growing up? Were you always a runner or a track athlete, or did
I
you do all
volleyball.
Different?
I love volleyball. If you asked me 15 years ago, I swore to you I was going to college to be a collegiate volleyball player.
Okay.
And I honestly got cut my senior year.
Really?
Oh,
high
my
school?
Gosh.
Wow.
And it was like devastating. I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was the first time I ever had any rejection athletically.
Oh, gosh.
And I went to the athletic director, and, like, he was even in shock. And, I mean, a lot of it was just my personality and who I was. And the coach was just like, your personality doesn't match this team.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it because I was really, like, intense when I was little.
Okay.
And I loved volleyball.
Yeah.
And you could not tell me that's not what I wouldn't end up doing for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And I think at that point it was just a little too intense.
Okay.
It's like, yeah. And so
the rest of the team wasn't quite so intense as you were.
Not quite. And so I just ended up running track and field. And I'll be completely honest, there was this guy that I liked, and I was like, oh, he runs track, I'll run track.
Sure.
And that's literally how my track and field career started.
Wow.
And I laugh because we're really good friends. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, I thought you were cute, so yeah. I joined track and field, and thank you for starting my career. And yeah, that's how I got started
in
it.
That's amazing. So you started pretty late then. It was your senior year of high school?
Yeah, or? I started my sophomore year of high school.
Sophomore year of high
school. And okay. I was a triple jumper.
Okay.
So I didn't do the heptathlon until my junior year of high school.
Okay.
I was a jumper, and I didn't even touch hurdles until my senior year.
Wow.
And so I kind of did all of these various events. I was a really strong triple jumper. Mm-hmm. I ended up going to the University of New Mexico my freshman year on a track scholarship. And
that was my for triple jump?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My high school coach my junior year was kind of like, you should try the heptathlon. You do long jump. Yeah. I can teach you how to hurdle. And I was just like, what the heck is a heptathlon? So I ended up coming to Tennessee, believe it or not.
All places. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did my first heptathlon there for junior nationals and ended up taking fourth place at junior nationals. And so for me, I still didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't know what the score meant. I didn't know anything. And I kind of put it underneath the rug. I was like, I just want to jump. I like that.
That's
like,
fun.
That's fun.
When I was in high school, I did high jump, like middle school and then early high school, and then I did pole vault. But I also ran sprints, but everyone liked to just do the jumps because then you didn't have to run so
exactly. But you know what? Until this day, if there was one thing that I can change for my career, I would have run in high school.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it would have made me a stronger 200-meter runner now and a stronger 800-meter runner now.
Just having
and
that time.
And you get over the fear of it. Mm. Because when you get older, you already get set in ways. But when you experience that fear at a young age, you're just like, I've done this a million times. We're good. It's not hard. So that's one thing that I wish I could go back and change, is I definitely would have run more in high school. And yeah, that brought me through college. And so I went to New Mexico, then I ended up transferring to Azusa Pacific, where that's like really where my heptathlon career started.
Okay.
Azusa is one of the top programs in the nation in terms of having a multi-program.
Okay.
I got a chance to train with Brian Clay, who's a silver and gold medalist, right after I finished my collegiate eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like the ideal training program. It was amazing.
Wow.
I trained with top decathletes.
That's amazing.
I trained with a Haitian Olympic hurdler.
Okay.
And this was all after I graduated from college. So my training group, the caliber of that was just like freaking through the roof.
Wow.
And so it elevated me as an athlete to actually like sit back and learn and not say anything and just kind of observe and take in the opportunity that I was presented with, because there are not very many people that can say that they were able to train with such an elite program.
Right.
And the thing is, it was kind of like a family. Like I was like the little sister, didn't really know anything. I just kind of followed and did workouts. Just like, well, they're doing it, I'll do it. But my coaches were amazing, and they were really just like very passionate about me wanting to pursue my post-collegiate career. And I had to work.
Yeah.
I really had to work. I tell people, I wasn't the greatest heptathlete post-collegiately. Like, I struggled. I didn't even make nationals for the first 2 years of me being done.
Right.
And that's kind of like what you train for. Like, you train to make U.S. nationals and to make teams. And I honestly, I just wasn't that good. I was a decent athlete, but I had to work and work. And each year, I was like, you know what? 250 points. Each year, if I just like keep increasing by 250 points, by the time I get to 2012 or 2016, like, I'm going to be at the Olympic trials.
Yeah.
And that's what I
did.
There
you were. That's amazing. So was it always part of your plan to keep training after college, or when did you make that decision?
Gosh,
no.
I was going to be done with college. If you asked me what my ideal goal and job was going to be, I was going to work in the Barbie department for Mattel, like a corporate. I'm not even kidding, down to like I had the presentation my senior year. Yep, went through my master's program. Did the interview process, like that's what I was going to do.
And what did you study in college?
I got my undergrad in business administration, and then I got my master's in management and marketing.
Okay.
And so, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to work for Barbie, which is weird because I'm not like a super girly girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved everything about the corporation.
Okay.
And then in 2011, my mom passed away. And so that was kind of the determining factor of like, what's going on with life.
Yeah.
And this plan that I had in place that I thought that I was going to do was completely turned upside down. And for me, I didn't really know what was going on because like my mom passed away of a brain aneurysm.
Okay.
And so it was abrupt.
Very sudden.
You're there talking to them. 10 minutes later, they're gone.
Wow.
And so it definitely changed my perspective on life now and just how I deal with relationships and how I deal with people. Because at any given moment, like I might not be here. Like I might not be able to have an experience with that person. And like, that's one of the reasons why when Chris emailed me, I responded so fast.
Yeah.
It's just because like, I do have these tools to be able to offer these people. And like, I might not be here in 5 minutes to be able, or a day or 48 hours or whatever that's going to look like to be able to share that with someone.
Yeah.
So for me, my mom had a series of letters and books that she had written for all four of my three siblings. And one of the letters that she had written me was like, you know what? I know your love and your determination for track and field. And I know how much you sacrifice in terms of family and friendships and people. And like, don't stop running until God completely takes it away from you.
Wow.
So for me, I was like, oh God, like that's a lot of pressure.
And in this letter you hadn't seen until after she passed away.
Nope.
So she wrote these
knew.
All to you and saved them. Wow.
Yep. No one knew.
What an amazing gift.
And so I was just like, like,
now what do I
like,
do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
And so I talked to my coaches. I called them when I found out everything. And I found the letter. And I just graduated with my master's degree. And I was like, guys, like, I know I'm not world class, but can I still stay here? Can I still train? And they were just like, you know, we think that you can do this and we think that you'll make it. So if this is what you want to do, like we support your decision. And I sat down with Brian and Brian was like, you know what? I'll do anything and everything that you need me to do.
Yeah.
This is your home. Like this is what we are, your family, we're your community. So if you want to do this, then we'll get it done.
And that's so amazing to have that support and that confidence in you and your ability.
And I didn't even have the confidence in myself. And like, that's what I love so much about having a team and having a program and having that community, and why I think it's so similar to CrossFit, because there's sometimes when you're not going to believe in yourself, but you have someone there that's going to believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And that's what you need.
Yes.
Because you're going to waver. You're going to have times where you're not on your A game for training, and you need someone there to tell you like, you know what, like it's a rut. Like you can get through this. Like, come on, keep going, keep going. So that's what I love about it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. And what an amazing gift that your mom gave you by writing that letter. And, you know, although obviously really,
If I didn't find that letter,
through,
I still don't think that I would have continued.
Yeah.
I didn't know what my potential was. And that letter was just like, wow, like maybe I can be better than I am right now. And all it was setting a little mini goal and reaching that goal each year until I put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
That's amazing. And what about in those moments, like when you didn't make the national team or you just missed it? Obviously, there's probably doubts that go through your mind, but what kept you going and keep pursuing that?
Honestly, it was the community that I was with and the people that I were with. It was heartbreaking because it's so funny. I laugh and I look back now. I swear, I feel like every time I got good enough for the standard, they changed the standard. I was like,
what the
frick, guys? Come on, I'm almost there. And so year by year, I would reach the standard and they would change the standard. I would get to the standard, they would change the standard.
It's like the carrot, they're just dangling in front
of
you.
And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to get there. Eventually, I'm going to get there. And so 2014, I had finally hit the standard, and then I ended up getting injured. Like I had a really, really severe hip injury that put me out for 9 months. I had nine months of physical therapy, and if it wasn't for my physical therapist, Sean Gately, I would be done.
Wow.
He literally had to rehab me from walking on a treadmill to being able to make my first U.S. national travel team.
Wow.
And so I would have quit because I was like, maybe this is my God aha moment.
He's
like,
taking
I
it away
may
from
have
me.
A
maybe
fracture in my pelvic bone. Like, maybe I should be done. And he was just like, nope. I cried for 9 months walking on a treadmill. Like, I'm never going to do this again. He's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're going to get you there. We're going to get you there. And I ended up making a U.S. travel team that year. And so for me, it was just like so funny because it was a year that I didn't try. Like I tried. I still put in effort to what I was doing. But so much of my mind and my heart and my soul was consumed in, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this.
Right.
Instead of just stepping back and letting it happen. Mm-hmm. And when I finally just let it happen and I let myself compete, mm-hmm. I freaking was able to unlock so much potential that I had in myself that I didn't know about.
Wow.
And so that was kind of the balance factor.
Okay.
So like as an athlete, I realized I had to be selfish, but at the same time, I had to be selfless. Mm-hmm. I couldn't care so much about making the standard and getting set in this number. Mm-hmm. And like, if I would get through hurdles and it wasn't exactly what I had to score, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, my heptathlon's ruined. Like, I can't get through the rest of the six events.
Right.
It's like, no, like, okay, your hurdle score wasn't the greatest, but mm-hmm. keep going.
You still have more events. Yeah.
Exactly. You still have more. So it's, I learned how to compartmentalize where okay. I had to take each event and focus on the event mm-hmm. instead of looking at the overall heptathlon. And I feel like the years previous, I was so focused on this overall score.
Right.
And if I didn't do this, then I couldn't get this. If I didn't do this, then I
right.
couldn't get
then
this.
Then everything was ruined.
You just
right.
have to go compete and have fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think was that change? Was it the injury that kind of changed your mindset to look at it one event at a time?
Well, yeah, because I literally didn't know what was going to go on. I was like, well, is this going to hurt me? Am I going to make it through?
Right.
So each event, I was just, oh, God, yes, I made it through. Next event, yes, I made
You're
it through.
You're so much more grateful for it.
And the next thing you know, it ends up being the best heptathlon I've ever put together in my entire life.
Wow.
After not even doing half of the training that I was able to do in previous years.
Yeah.
And so that was just the eye-opening factor where when you just go out and compete and have fun and love what you do, mm-hmm. sometimes that's just the only thing that needs to change.
Yep. So. And sometimes we just need to get out of our own way.
Kind yeah.
of get out of
yeah.
our own head. So
you are your worst critic.
So true. Wow. So then you make your national team.
Yeah, I made my national team. And get my USA box.
That's amazing. So what is that like? What does that entail?
So they go through a selection process mm-hmm. for various U.S. teams. Mm-hmm. We have U.S. versus Germany, which is they'll pick the top seven heptathletes for the U.S., top seven mm-hmm. heptathletes for Germany. You go in a head-to-head battle.
Okay.
And then we also have the Pan American Games. Well, they will select three U.S. heptathletes to go represent the U.S. for that.
Okay.
We also have a Capital Cup where they will select three U.S. athletes to compete against Canada, Jamaica. There mm-hmm. are various countries that come for this track and field meet. Mm-hmm. And then you have a world or an Olympic team where those three selection process happen at a U.S. Nationals or at the Olympic trials.
Okay.
So because of the score that I had put up in 2014, mm-hmm. I was able to be selected for the top three spots for that U.S. national event that I went to. Mm-hmm. And so they send you this giant box in the mail of all this USA gear. And like, it's so funny because you compete to compete, but you really like compete for the box.
Yeah. You want to wear that Team USA.
Yeah. You're just like, oh my gosh, like I get a chance to represent my country.
Yeah.
At like one of the biggest meets in the world.
That's amazing.
And so I got the box and I was just like literally like crying when they called me and told me that I made the selection process because I tried for so many years and I'd fallen short for so many years. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was such an overwhelming feeling that I will never forget.
Wow.
And I threw myself a little like USA box party. It was so
funny.
It was me and my roommates and they were like trying on my stuff. It was so fun. It was so fun. And to me, it's just like, it really showed me to trust the process mm-hmm. and the moments that I'm able to remember now mm-hmm. getting through the process. To me, that's what I cherish. Mm-hmm. And the people that I've been able to build relationships with going mm-hmm. through the process, that's what I'm able to cherish. Like, yeah, competing is amazing.
Right.
I really, 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 really wholeheartedly love the feeling of competing, mm-hmm. getting able to go out and really do your best and train be able to just show the track what's up when you get there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't discredit the process and mm-hmm. the people and just the time that you're able to spend doing that. And
right.
I feel like sometimes I took that for granted.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, like my mom passing away, that I'm able to realize now is, you know, you can't take those things for granted mm-hmm. because you might not have a chance to
right.
to do it anymore.
Right.
So always cherish the moments that you have.
It's so true. Yeah. And it's so funny how sometimes it takes
those
setbacks or those hard times to teach us those lessons. I wish it was easier for us to learn.
And if it's honestly, like if that didn't happen, I don't think that I would have been able to be this receptive to the extent that I am now. Like, it took something like that big for me to like kind of get my smack in the face and just be like, Tiff, you know, like, you really need to start caring and cherishing the relationships that you have with people. And yes, you have these goals, and like, yeah, you want to make an Olympic trials. Like, yes, you want to make a U.S. team, but that can't be your everything.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to come to an end point in your career at some point.
Right.
You need to realize that, and you need to be able to have people in your corner when you're not an athlete anymore.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm like, what do you mean when I'm not an athlete anymore? And then you get to your point where you're just like, your aha moment. Like, I get it.
It makes sense. That's so amazing. And I think amazing too, that you get to that point before your career is over, because I think so many people in professional athletes and Olympic athletes, their career is suddenly over and then they have no idea what to do, or it's a very difficult time to start processing and thinking about, okay, where am I going to go from here? Who is really, who's really my support system? And
it's so true. It's so cool, because I feel like working with CrossFit, I have a different support system. It's so funny. Like, I'm at the Olympic trials and I'm getting a text from Katrin, like, you got this 800, like, you're good.
That's
can go.
Amazing.
Just like, this is so awesome. And I'm like chuckling to myself because she's prepping for one of the biggest meets of her life and one of the biggest events for her life. And I'm prepping for one of the biggest events of my life.
Yeah.
And we can support each other.
It's amazing.
And so to me, I'm just like, oh, this is so cool. Like, the CrossFit community is so amazing.
It is.
It's so amazing.
It's just
so motivating and positive.
Oh, yeah. And it brings out, I think it really selects for really amazing people because you have to, I mean, you have to have certain qualities if you're going to work that hard and if you're going to put yourself in uncomfortable situations and know that that's going to make you better. Yep. So
you have to be comfortable, get comfortable being uncomfortable.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. So you competed in the Olympic trials last year. And then I know recently you had a move. You were in California. Tell us a little bit about what's going on now.
So currently I live in Texas.
Okay.
I'm still training there, and I'm training for Worlds this summer.
Okay.
So I'll start my competition season at the end of this month.
Okay.
We have an indoor and an outdoor season. So our indoor season may generally start in December and go through March. I chose not to do an indoor season.
Okay.
Just because I did so many heptathlons for outdoor season. Leading up into the Olympic trials, same process. They change our standard 45 days before the Olympic trials. And I had the standard. And so for 45 days, I was doing heptathlons, which generally speaking, a heptathlete will do 3.5 to maximum 4. I did 6.5.
Wow.
That's a lot of load on your body doing 7 and different stress. Disciplines and stress. And I was just like, I need a break.
Yeah.
I needed a break. So I didn't do indoor season. And it was really cool because it gave me time to kind of train and process. I had a really hard time after the Olympic trials because for me, it was like I put all of this time and hard work into 4 years and people at a round table get to dictate your career.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that. And I really struggled with it because I started to second guess the amount of effort and the work that I was putting in. If it was at the end of the day, is this going to matter?
Right.
And then I kind of got out of my rut and I was like, you know what? No, the whole like step into real life. Yeah. Not there yet. So let's just figure this out. Let's take time in Texas, talk to my coach. I really had to learn that there's more than one way to get to the goal. And I'm with a coach that kind of has a different training style and a different perspective on the heptathlon. And there's nothing wrong with that. At the end of the day, there's no like a pinch of salt, a pinch of pepper. This is like, there's not a perfect recipe.
Right.
You can
it's all an experiment.
Put some cinnamon in there. Yeah. But at the end of the day, as long as you have a plan, you're totally fine. And as long as the plan doesn't deviate like dramatically away from what the heptathlon is, you're going to be fine as long as you trust the process.
Right.
And so now I'm in my trusting the process in Texas.
Okay.
And it's very different than being in California.
Okay. So you have a whole different training group and coach
everything.
And everything.
I went from having a training group and having a training partner to now, her going through her life process and getting engaged and moving to Colorado to me being by myself.
Okay.
And that petrifies me.
Yeah.
Just because for the first time I've had to take my career into my own hands. At the end of the day, like if my coach is gone with the collegiate team, I have to train.
Right.
I have to get this done. I have to take responsibility for the plan and I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I have to know what I'm doing. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Especially for athletes.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I've realized over my career, like, I've been extremely blessed where I've had multiple coaches do mm-hmm. that for me. Mm-hmm. But at some point in your career, you have to be willing to do that yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at now.
That's amazing. So it's another chapter.
It's a whole yeah. different chapter where I'm like, whoa, I didn't even know this was in the book.
Wow.
But it's fun. It's challenging, but it's fun. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm in
that's
Texas
amazing.
In Dallas hanging out. Doing my training thing. It's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then every so often, like, Chris came down mm-hmm. In December
okay.
and he did a seminar. So I got a chance to just kind of hang out with him. So I'm like,
yay,
people, friends.
Awesome.
I have no one in Texas, like no
right.
family, didn't go to school there. I have no correlation outside of just training.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
lots of focus on the training,
it's
but
true.
Still a
it's
very
true.
Different experience from mm-hmm. what you were talking about earlier. And I noticed that as well, just when I was in, you know, in my training, there mm-hmm. were years where I had amazing training partners and I was in a great environment with my coach. And then
yeah.
there were years when I was away and mm-hmm. I was kind of on my own. And it's a very different ballgame when you're on your own.
It
you
is.
Have to really, you realize how much it, you can rely on other people to kind of lift you up and be there on those days you were talking about when you're in a rut or when you don't feel like training.
It's so true.
But if you can motivate yourself to do it on your own,
then you're good.
You're good at any yep. time, you know?
It's so true. It gets difficult. Mm-hmm. It really does, especially when you have to do like 800 meter breakdowns. And
oh gosh,
800 is just like
I just oof. Can't even imagine.
I'm trying to work on telling myself now
yeah.
that I love it. I love the
yeah.
800. When you do workouts, you're just like, gosh, I have to do this by myself. Like, so I've learned to just set my watch and you,
right.
you work off of the beep. Like
right.
when it beeps, you better
you
be
go.
At the mark that you have to be at.
Right.
And so you kind of have a little training partner, but
yeah,
it's
that's
just
true.
Different.
When I was doing a lot of Chris's workouts, I love because he breaks them down mm-hmm. even by the 100 pace.
Yep.
So every 100, you can look at your watch or
yep.
you know what you have to hit. And for me, that helped so much
mm-hmm.
because if I was on my own, I don't think I'd be moving that fast.
Yeah, because you don't really know, you know what you're doing, but you don't really know where you're at when
mm-hmm.
you're running.
Mm-hmm.
Your main focus is just like, get to the finish line.
Yeah.
Get to the finish line. The whole breakdown of the hundreds, you're just like, what? Where am I? Am I on pace? And it's like annoying to sit there and try to look at a watch.
And then try to do math in your head.
Right. And
yeah.
But it takes away from your workout.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the objective.
Right.
And so you kind of really need some type of awareness when
mm-hmm.
you're doing those type of workouts so you know, like, okay, I'm on pace, I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I love working with Chris and love talking to Chris
mm-hmm.
because he is the other side of being a heptathlete for
mm-hmm.
me. Like, I know the sprinting, I know the blocks, I know the start, I know the positions, I know how to make someone fast, I know how to be fast.
Yeah.
The endurance part, and like when he gets into seminar, he talks about that wall that you hit.
Yeah.
And when you get to that wall, I panic.
It's a whole different
and
volume.
So being in that seminar was just like, don't panic,
mm-hmm.
just take a step back so that you don't burn yourself out.
Yeah.
And that was like freaking an aha moment. Like,
yeah,
oh, I can
slow
down
this. Yeah,
but wait, I can slow down and I can still go faster. Oh man, it was just it opened Pandora's box for me.
That's
I was
amazing.
Just like, whoa.
Yeah, especially I can't even imagine
took training to a whole different level.
Yeah. No, I mean, because he was talking about with me when I was working with him, I had a lot of problems with my 400, like hitting mm-hmm. that point, and I can't even imagine on an 800 how bad that would get. So
I mean, Chris speaks highly of you, so I'm sure you'd be fine.
I don't know about an 800, but no, that's amazing. And then now that you're in Texas, I saw also that are you working with some CrossFit athletes or some kids.
Mm-hmm.
At a CrossFit gym in Texas?
Right now I kind of just work with whoever needs
okay.
help. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Okay.
Anyone that needs help, I'm more than willing to help them.
Okay.
I've had lacrosse athletes. I've had soccer athletes. I just had a girl who had a soccer tryout for Princeton.
Wow.
And she came to me 2 weeks before her tryout.
Okay. A little last minute homework.
Was in Virginia for vacation. And she was like, I need help. I have 2 weeks to make this collegiate soccer team and I need to be able to sprint fast. I'm
wow.
like, okay, no pressure at all. I have to get this girl into college in two
yeah.
weeks. This is cool. And I was like, okay, you're going to have 3 days. This is going to be miserable for you.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to sit here and sugarcoat it and lie. I'm
yeah.
totally as transparent as they come. This is going to be extremely hard,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to ask you to do something that I haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was up at 8 a.m. We did our weightlifting. I put her on like kind of the same schedule. I'm a schedule and routine person
yep,
because
yep.
in the HEP, you're not going to get a surprise.
Right.
Everything is going to be what it is. Mm-hmm. Seven events, seven things, same order, never changing.
Yep.
So I put her on a routine. I'm like, okay, you need to work on your recovery. Like, mm-hmm. she would go cryo, she would ice, she would do everything that she needed to do. Mm-hmm. 8 a.m. we would weightlift, 12 we would do skills, mm-hmm. evening we were running. Mm-hmm. And she did that for 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
I gave her two off days.
Yeah.
So she had her recovery day, but for the most part, she met with me.
That's amazing.
3 hours a day. And she had to do a beep test is what they're kind of okay. like end all for soccer. And when she was with me, we did a trial and she didn't pass it.
Hmm.
And she was just devastated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you devastated about not passing it here?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the objective. The objective is now you know the potential that you have. I was like, hey, we know, well, now we have a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the end. This is the beginning of where we're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're able to come out here and run this with me.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the first week, we did it a second week and she passed it.
Awesome.
And then I was like, you're ready. Like, go out there and really believe and do what you're doing with me when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get wrapped up in, well, these girls have been doing this. These girls have been training for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even have the training program. She didn't know what the soccer program was until 4 days before she had to fly out for this tryout.
Wow.
And I was like, we don't need it.
Yeah, you're like, ready.
You're ready. You have this. You can do this. If you wholeheartedly believe in the training that you've done and mm-hmm. you trust the process of everything that I've gotten you to do, then you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so she flies out. I like write her. I'm like a thank you note person.
Yeah.
I write her Aww. A little note and like, I was like, don't open this until you get into the plane.
Okay.
And then she opened it and I'm like, trust the process. Like, really believe in everything that mm-hmm. you've put your heart and your soul into. All of the pain that you've experienced, you know these girls didn't go through this. I highly doubt that these girls are doing like repeat 800s as
yeah.
a soccer player.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you can do it. Like, I wholeheartedly believe mm-hmm. that you can do this. And I told her, I was like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If I didn't believe that you could do it, I would be like, okay, we might need a little more time
yeah.
in 2 weeks. But I'm like, I see the determination. And I was like, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes out, she makes the soccer team,
oh,
and she
wow.
ends up playing. She calls me. She's like crying.
Aww.
She's like, I was the second fastest on the test. And
wow.
she trained for 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
And there was no like secret.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you have to have a plan. You
it's
have
training.
To have a program.
And I think, too, the belief, I think,
and
is such a huge thing. Like that,
it'll make or break you.
To know that someone believes so much in you,
yeah.
I think, gives you so much power, too.
And it's so true.
It's so,
so true.
And just having that and being able to give that to someone is such an amazing gift, too.
And it's so funny. For me, I'm like, oh God, like, when Chris talks about like being able to work with Rich for the first time, like
yeah.
that was my feeling with this collegiate athlete. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to make or break this girl's life.
Right.
Like college to me, like education is everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh God, she has to do this. I'm like, she has to do this. There's no failure is not an option.
Right.
And so I was like, you're going to do this. This is
Find
what you're
way.
Doing.
Yeah.
She's thinking, I'm like, okay, she can do this. Can she do this? Yeah, heck yeah, she can do this. I know she can do this. And she did it. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. She did it.
Oh, that's so amazing. Wow.
So
cool that you get to work with other people, too, and
yeah.
share all of your experience. And what do you hope for people, for young athletes or track athletes or anyone else, what do you hope to pass on to them, or what advice would you give them?
It's the perseverance aspect,
mm-hmm.
and that word sticks with me, and it will stick with me for the rest of my career.
Mm-hmm.
Being that athlete that really just had to work,
mm-hmm.
like I really, 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 really had to work. I had to do the stuff that people kind of like sat back, like, I don't really need to focus on my form. Like,
right.
I really don't have to do those drills. Like, my warm up doesn't have to be 30 to 45 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I was the first person at the track
mm-hmm.
and I was the last person at the track.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was an Olympic gold medalist telling me that extra 5% that I'm willing to put in,
mm-hmm.
that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference between being a collegiate athlete and being a professional athlete
mm-hmm.
is you have to be willing to do that extra 5% that people take advantage of, especially if you're not the person that is the God-gifted sprinter.
Right.
You really have to zone in and focus and do extra things to make sure that you are just as good as them.
Mm-hmm.
And my just kind of like takeaway for them is like, never let someone tell you that you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Because as long as you have a plan, as long as you have a process, and as long as you have a support system that really believes in you, mm-hmm. you're able to do anything that you want to do. And yeah, like the limits are endless. You can literally do whatever you want to do. If you want to make a U.S. team, or you want to be at the CrossFit Games, yeah. you want to be one of the best in the world, position yourself to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, the first thing is you have to find people that believe in you.
Yep.
Your environment is everything. If your environment isn't healthy, your environment isn't positive, it's going to be really difficult. Not impossible, but it's going to be really difficult for you to achieve what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you kind of just have to position yourself for greatness. And that's one of the ways that you do it, is you have to be around amazing people mm-hmm. that really trust the process with you. So yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
That's what I would do.
All right. Well, I want to close. I have three questions I usually ask everyone at the end.
Okay.
So first one is, three things you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
I smile and laugh.
That is a perfect one.
I really do.
I've noticed that in the day or so, like, that I've known you.
Why is this girl always so happy? And I'm like, well, your laughter is everything.
Yes.
And for me, it's just like, I really enjoy the moments that I'm with people. Mm-hmm. And I don't take them for granted. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like, I laugh. And if I'm not laughing, I find something to laugh at. Or I just position myself around people that really just, like, that are joyful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one of the biggest things that you have to have daily. You have to be able to experience some type of joy mm-hmm. in your life. So laughter is definitely the first one. Whether it's the beginning of me waking up in the morning or in mm-hmm. the evening, like, I definitely have like my 5 to 10 minute like devotional self time. Mm-hmm. I pour so much into people mm-hmm. and like, I am very like transparent. Like I said before, I'm black or white. I give or I just need to chill.
Yep.
And my chill time, I kind of just like open my Bible, do mm-hmm. my devotional, chill, and kind of just really meditate on me.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I neglect me as a person because I care so much for other people. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to learn to balance. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things over the past 2 years that I've really like seen the importance of, is mm-hmm. you have to have time for self before you can have time for other people.
Absolutely.
My third one, I eat a massive breakfast.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
What's your favorite breakfast? What do you eat?
Oh. I was like,
you can be honest.
If I could eat one thing for breakfast every single day, mm-hmm. it would be breakfast burritos.
Oh, yeah.
I, like, love breakfast burritos.
That sounds so good.
And 6-shot espresso.
Mm, wow.
That's it.
6.
I won't drink coffee for the rest of the day.
Wow.
But, like, me and espresso, 3 pumps of toffee nut, we're money.
You're good to go.
We're money. We can take over the world. Yep.
Awesome.
So that's it. Big breakfast, smile, and just take time for yourself.
I love it. What about one thing that you think would have a big impact, but you have a hard time implementing it?
Ooh.
Or something you're working on.
That's a great question. Big impact. I think that I should go to sleep earlier.
Mm.
Yeah. I really need to practice sleeping.
Sleeping. How much sleep do you usually get on average?
Probably like 6 to 7 hours.
Mm, yeah.
And I definitely should be in that like 8 to 10 hour zone.
Yeah, totally.
Especially if you're doing 3 different
training
sessions.
Yeah.
And so for me, sleep is a big thing, but mm-hmm. it's really hard because I do so much throughout the day.
Yep.
But that's where it goes back to my healthy things, where you kind of really have to learn to take things.
Right. Set those boundaries for yourself.
Yeah, I have a problem saying no.
Yeah.
But you have to say no. You have to say no and take time for yourself, because if I'm not rested, there's no way that I'm going to be able to be optimal in my training, and I have to be in order to be where I want to be. So, sleeping. Go to bed at like 9.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I would love to go to bed at 9 every day.
Yeah.
All right, what does a healthy life look like to you?
A healthy life to me is, it's the same thing. It's how I live now. It's mm-hmm. like, you have to position yourself to be around amazing people. Mm-hmm. So as long as you, throughout your life, experience joy.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I really don't like using the word happiness, because mm-hmm. I feel like happiness can be swayed by emotions. Like,
sure.
You can have a good day, you can have a bad day, but if you really are around good people and you really have just wholehearted joy, mm-hmm. your life is going to be amazing because you're never going to have disappointment. You're always going to have something positive to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And if you're around those types of people, you're just going to live a better life. And, mm-hmm. and I feel like for me, that's one of the things that my mom tried to get me to realize at such a young age. Just like, you know what, if you love yourself, then you're able to pour that love into other people. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what we're here for. Yeah. Like you're here to have a good time and like to just really help people be better people. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So as long as you do that, that's what a healthy lifestyle is.
It's
a balance between having joy for yourself and being able to share that with other people.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. Well, thank you for sharing your joy with all of us here.
Thanks for allowing me to.
It was so great to talk to you.
You too.
And yeah, I think we have more training in store for the weekend. So
we do. I'm
looking forward to that.
I'm going
to practice my sprinting.
I'm going to practice keeping up with her. That's what I'm going to practice.
All right. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
No problem. Thanks so much, Joel.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I love Tiffany's energy, and it was amazing to hear how the unexpected death of her mother helped her to put some things in perspective in her life and focus on how she can best use her talents and passions as a professional athlete and in coaching others today. I also was lucky enough to work with her for a few minutes on my own sprinting technique while I was in Cookeville, and I can definitely see why she's in high demand by so many CrossFit Games athletes. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. This episode is brought to you by Thrive Market. If you haven't heard of Thrive Market yet, they sell top organic and healthy products online at 25 to 50% off, shipped straight to your doorstep. So as a sponsor of this episode of the podcast, they're providing an amazing offer to all Pursuing Health listeners. You can head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH, and there you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, as well as free shipping and a free 30-day trial. So why do I love Thrive Market so much? You probably know my husband Danny and I have been living a very chaotic lifestyle for the past several years, from medical school to now residency training and training for the CrossFit Games in there as well. We didn't have a lot of time for grocery shopping every week or meal prep. And so using Thrive Market, we can shop for all of our staple grocery items, things like nut butters, cooking oils, snack bars, dressings, even coffee and tea. And we know that when we're ordering through Thrive Market, these products are coming from a curated list that we know we can trust. So whether you're looking for paleo, vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, or organic products, you can find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices that are 25 to 50% below what you would find in the grocery store. And even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or the hassle of grocery shopping. I also love that Thrive Market demonstrates a big commitment to giving back. So for everyone who signs up for a Thrive Market membership, another membership is donated to a low-income family, veteran, or teacher. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because Thrive Market has been such a huge lifesaver in my own life, I wanted to share the benefits with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So as I mentioned before, you can head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase and free shipping and a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So I hope you take advantage of this amazing offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH. You can head there to save on some of your favorite items for healthy living and also help make a healthy lifestyle easy, affordable, and accessible for all. This episode is brought to you by Mobility Wad. Do you struggle to get into good positions in your training and workouts? Are your movement compensations causing you undue pain and grief? MWOD's belief is that every human being should be able to perform basic maintenance on themselves. For nearly 10 years, MobilityWOD has been the go-to for the world's best athletes and teams. Do you know what hundreds of Olympic and world-class athletes, professional teams in the NFL, MLB, basketball, hockey, rugby, and soccer, and dozens of universities all have in common? They use MobilityWOD to train and compete at their best. I first took Dr. Kelly Starrett's movement and mobility course in 2013, and since then have read his books and followed his videos for ideas on how to address my own movement restrictions. But sometimes having all this information can become overwhelming, which is why I think the real genius is in the MWOD subscription. As part of this subscription, you have access to not only hundreds of hours of video content that can be filtered based on your specific questions, but also a daily 10-minute MobilityWOD video. You just log in and follow Kelly's instructions as if he is there coaching you in person for 10 minutes per day. You may pick up certain exercises that you wish to incorporate on a regular basis before or after your workouts. But at the very least, by following this daily program, you know you are addressing a wide range of movement patterns and body parts on a regular basis without having to think about it. I often do these sessions first thing in the morning or before bed as a way to wind down from the day. In addition, you have access to an on-ramp sequence and a 14-day mobility challenge that helps you understand the basics and identify the areas you personally need to focus on. You can lean on the MWOD community and discussion boards to learn from others who have been through similar situations or injuries. And if you need more personalized help, you can use the MWOD list to find a like-minded practitioner in your area. It's easy to become part of the MobilityWOD community, but for being a Pursuing Health listener, you can receive 20% off an annual membership with code Julie Foucher. That's JulieFoucher. Just visit www.mobilitywod.com. Full potential, full power.